Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Last time we talked to tonight's guest, she just released her first novel. With her latest book, Yester Canada, Historical Tales of Mystery and Adventure, Elma Schemenauer returns to nonfiction writing with a collection of 30 historic Canadian tales. Elma's on the phone with us from her Kamloops, British Columbia home office to talk to us about her work and Yester Canada. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Happy from the Just Getting Started CD by Carolyn Ahrens.
Do I annoy you with my optimism? Am I an insult to your realism? I got hope and just a little bit of passion. And I know both those things have gone right out of fashion. So call me a rebel, you can call me a fool. I won't give up the fight, I just refuse. And I will dare to dream. I will dare to believe in something, baby. And I will dare to be. Offend you that I made that decision? Does it betray your sense of fatalism? Well, please forgive me, but I don't believe it's treason for me to live my life like it's mine for a reason. So call me Pollyanna, you can call me a child, but I will not lie down, that's not my style. And I something, baby, and I will dare to be happy. Oh, I will dare to be happy. Love can save us, and I've seen its existence. See, I got Jesus and a little bit of passion, and I know both those things have gone right out of fashion. So you can call me crazy, but here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna dare to pray the same for you, and I will dare. Something, baby,
and now to our conversation with Elma Schemenauer. Good evening, Elma.
Good evening, Robert.
Now, the last time we talked was when your first novel, Consider the Sunflowers, was released. What was the reaction to that book?
It was quite good. I think a lot of people are interested. Of course, it is interesting more to Mennonites than to anyone else, probably. But it's also interesting to people who know the prairies and grew up on the prairies, Saskatchewan and other places on the prairies.
Well, I think anybody who has any kind of contact with Mennonites, I'm thinking, you know, both the prairies. I lived in the Edmonton area, so of course we knew some of the Mennonite Hutterite type of people up in that area, and now down in South Central Ontario in the Kitchener area, there's a large Mennonite community here. So just reading about that and getting some idea of what that community and those families were like, even though it's on the prairies, that far back was a fascinating read.
Well, thank you. Yes, I hope so.
Have you looked at thought about doing another novel?
I'm working on one right now.
Are you following up to Consider the Sunflowers, or is this something different?
it will follow up to some extent. Some of the characters are the same. There's a character in Consider the Sunflowers, Adeline Epp, and everybody sort of loves to hate her.
Yes.
She's so overbearing. And she plays a larger role in the next novel.
Uh-huh.
And her son, Simon, he is in the next novel, too. And also Frank, who was so resistant to the gospel in Consider the Sunflowers, Frank is a pastor in the next novel.
Ah, that will be an interesting to find out how that all took place. So
yes.
Now, for those who did miss that interview, I mean, it was a year or two ago. Let's give our listeners a little bit of background about you in case they're just hearing about you. When did you develop your love for writing?
Well, as a child, really. I always liked writing. When we had any assignment in school that had to do with writing, I just loved it. And I wrote about just things that happened on the farm in our Mennonite community. Just took off from there, although I didn't get to be a writer until a real writer, I suppose, until many years later, because I didn't really know how to do it.
Right. Well, how did you sort of move from all of that? And a lot of your work has been in the field of education and doing textbooks and doing books that people are using in schools and that. How did you sort of go down and get to that path where you were writing a lot of those kind of books?
The school books?
Yep.
Well, I was a teacher. I taught in Nova Scotia under the auspices of the Mennonite Brethren Board of Missions and Services. And so then I decided after that teaching, and I had taught in Saskatchewan too, but I decided, you know, I really wanted to be a writer. So I went to Toronto just green and not knowing how to do it. So I went to Toronto and tried to get into publishing, and of course I had some false starts, but eventually, I was hired by an educational publisher, so that was the beginning of it.
Now, you're saying you were teaching under the auspices of a church board, missions board. How have you been able to express your faith or have your faith play out in the type of books that you've had a chance to write?
Well, in some it's specific, and in some of them that I've edited too, like for the Canadian Bible Society and some other publishers, it's quite specific. The Christian faith is quite specific. In other cases, it's not so specific, but I always try to present Christian values as much as I can in whatever I'm writing. And also, it's amazing, especially if you're writing history, how easy it is to bring in Christian content, because a lot of people in the past were Christians and are now, of course. But you can bring that kind of content in. And in education, you have to be careful because you're not supposed to be promoting a particular, you know, religious viewpoint. But nobody can complain too much if it's in history, because you can't complain about the fact that that Montreal was started as a missionary community. Everybody knows. I mean, when you look into history, you can't deny that, mm-hmm. Or that Saskatoon was started under Christian principles. You can't deny that kind of thing. So you can get a lot of Christian content even in school books.
Yeah, and I find that, you know, especially like when you say you are doing history, I mean, you look at, some of the key figures in Canadian history. I mean, Egerton Ryerson, John Strachan, and a lot of people like that were very devout in their particular faith system. So that was all a part of what was going on. And you had, you know, the heavy Catholic, Roman Catholic influence in Quebec, even in Quebec politics, for a number of years. So when you're writing in writing history and writing education, that is there a particular area of interest that you have that you like to write about?
Well, I like the human interest aspects of it. When I was working in Toronto for many years in publishing, we were working on textbooks of history, so you couldn't just go to the human interest, because we had to be able to get the main dates and particular politicians in and that kind of thing. But I was always on the lookout for the human interest aspects of it. So So that when I wrote my own things, that's what I zeroed in on.
Yeah, and then that certainly comes through in Yestercanada, which we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. So what we are going to do is take a quick break and then continue our conversation with author Elma Schemenauer. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Arts Connection, even listening to New Year's Day from Carolyn Aaron's Just Getting Started CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Elma Schemenauer. Elma, where did the idea for Yestercanada, which you subtitled Historical Tales of Mystery and Adventure, where did the whole idea for that book come from?
Well, I think it even started in my childhood because my parents were very interested in history, even especially my dad. At the table, dinner table, we were often talking about history. He would have his stories to tell, and he was very, very good at telling them. And I think so it even started there. But I had more of an opportunity to develop that when I was in Toronto working in publishing with the various publishers. We were working on historical things. And so it branched off from there.
So, Yestercanada just came out late last year, and was that a coincidence that that you decided to do something like this just on the cusp of Canada's 150th anniversary year?
Well, it was sort of an accident, but a happy accident, because I had wanted it to come out quite a bit earlier, but there were some complications with the publisher who's in Ottawa and a very good publisher, Borealis Press. But there were delays with it. And then when I realized when it was going to come out, I thought, oh, isn't that good? It'll coincide with the 150th anniversary.
Now, where did all of these stories come from? I mean, you've got a number of different tales. You've got something like 30 different tales in there. Where did the stories come from?
Well, they came from research. I've done an awful lot of research, and the bibliography in the back of the book indicates a lot of my main sources for it. Some of the stories I had more direct knowledge of, like Saskatchewan's Dryland Steamboat. That one took place right close to where I was where I grew up, and I was actually able to interview the man who resurrected that steamboat after it had actually been fell apart, and I still had some conversations with him. So it came from different sources, research in books, and also talking to people.
Now, were there any stories that you wished you could have included but weren't able to because of tightness of the number of pages or things like that?
Oh, yes. There certainly were stories. I would have liked to have a story about the Norse, you know, discovering, coming to the Newfoundland area, for example. I would have liked to have that, but I was very careful in this book to have it go all across Canada. I didn't want to have one area weighted more than another. So there were many stories that I would have liked to put in, but I didn't.
Now, you mentioned the doing the research and that. How long did it take to actually do like this? Was this something that you started collecting these kind of stories a number of years ago and were able just to finally put them in, or did you sort of just do all of this in one fell swoop?
No, it was a number of years ago. And some of these stories have been published elsewhere, like in magazines and so forth. So I was working on them over a number of years.
So what attracted you to some of the stories that are in here? I mean, you have a number of different stories. You have, you know, the New Brunswick's jinxed ship out of New Brunswick. You've got, the Nova Scotia Noah and his Ark. You've got, you've even included the Tom Thompson mystery, and doing a chronology of that. What attracted you to the particular stories that you've included in this in Yester Canada?
Well, a mystery. I like mystery, and I like adventure. And even though I grew up on the prairies, I love stories having to do with the sea. The sea stories and seafarers and their adventures. I just love that. And the other thing I love is the North. And I have been able to travel a bit in the far north, and I just love that. You know, a strange and twice told Yukon tale takes place up there, and also the woman who walked to the top of the world, a lot of that is way up in the north, so I guess my personal interests were part of what drew me to these stories.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a bit of a history buff, and there were even stories in here that I had never heard of before. How do you come across some of these lesser well known stories of Canadian history that are just absolutely fascinating?
Well, I did a lot of research in the library, and not only in books but also in periodicals. You know, there in Toronto there are wonderful libraries, so I was able to do a lot of research there. And once I got wind of a particular story, then I would just follow it up and try to find more and more information, because sometimes in a book you'll see only like maybe 3 or 4 paragraphs about a particular event. And so then I would follow it up like a bloodhound, you know. And the librarians were very helpful in helping me to find the sources for these things.
Right, and we talked earlier about how you are able to integrate and your faith perspective into books like this, and even with this one, you were able to throw in a number of stories about people of faith in there. What are some of the stories of faith that are included in this?
Well, there's Dr. Elizabeth of Onion Lake, Saskatchewan, and she and her husband were missionaries there, and I really like that story, how she... They realized they really needed a medical doctor there, but neither one of them was trained for that. And so she actually went after they even had several children, and she went and got educated in Winnipeg and in Toronto to become a medical doctor. And she went back there, and they ministered there together. That's one that really challenged me, particularly because when she went to Toronto one time to resume her studies, she didn't feel well, and so the supervisor, who was a professor, wrote back to her husband, John Matheson, in Onion Lake, Saskatchewan, and said he thought that she should go home. And he said, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is worthy of the kingdom of God, or words to that effect. You know the verse. And this pleased her, and she just plucked up her spirits and continued. I just love things like that, you know.
This probably isn't a fair question, but are there any one or two stories in there that are your favorites? I'm obviously Dr. Elizabeth Onion is one of them, but are there other stories that are your favorites in the book?
Well, I like Saskatchewan's Dryland Steamboat because I grew up near there. I like the Jamaican Passenger very much. It's really a legend, and some of the book stories in this book are legends. They're not based so much on historical fact, but just on traditional legends that have been told over and over again. And that one is a really good one, and it sort of has an implied Christian content to it there. Mm-hmm. It's more or less implied. Mm-hmm. And Nova Scotia Noah and his Ark is interesting. I like that one because it's about a man who was a preacher and a community builder, but with a difference. He was a bit strange.
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll take one final break, and then we'll finish our conversation with author Elma Schemenauer. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
When I cannot ask for more,
Father, thy will be done.
When I rail at heaven's door,
Father, thy will be done.
When my faith in you is strong,
Arts Connection. You've been listening to Father, Thy Will Be Done from the Just Getting Started CD by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with author Elma Schemenauer. Now, Yes for Canada has been out for a little while. What's been the reaction to this book in particular?
Well, people seem to be interested in it because of the anniversary coming up, and I think there's interest in it, yes.
Now, what are, as you're writing this and as you're writing these stories now, what were you hoping readers are going to take away from the book?
Well, I hoped that they would realize what our forerunners in our country had to put up with. Tremendous difficulties in some cases and hardships, and how they just persevered in many cases and overcame those things. So I wanted us to appreciate, readers to appreciate what they did for us in laying the foundations of our country, and to appreciate what we have today because of what they did, and also to be sort of inspired to be persistent, to keep on, not to follow your dream, not to give up.
Yeah. Well, I think of the Nova Scotia Noah and his Ark, and the, you know, the fact that they started out in one area of Nova Scotia, this community started out, you know, in one area of Nova Scotia, found that wasn't working for them, and then moved around and ended up in the Cape Breton area and all of the things that they had to go through to finally even just get themselves established. I mean, they're as you say, there's a lot of things that people have had to go through in Canada to even just exist.
Yes.
If people are interested in finding more information about you or more information about Yester Canada, where can they do that?
Well, I have a website that gives a lot of that, and it's Elma, M-S, as in Mary Sunshine, .wixsite, all one word, .com, and then /Elma, E-L-M-A. The book is available on Amazon, and Chapters Indigo can be ordered from those online. And also, you could ask for it in a bookstore or a library. I would be pleased if you did that.
Right. Anything we may have missed about the book?
Well, there's quite a bit about our Aboriginal people in it. There's some very good stories about them. I guess we didn't mention those. So the Salmon Prince and the Lost City of the Skeena, I like that. And that's a very interesting story. It has sort of Old Testament overtones. If you know the Old Testament and read that story, you can kind of relate some aspects of the Old Testament to it. There are others. There are two of the Laughing Grandmothers of Old Wives Lake, a very heroic event that took place many years ago in Saskatchewan.
Right. Now, did you sort of pick a specific time period to work with within the book?
Well, there's one story that in the 1200s, of course, there's a lot of conjecture about whether that one really is true or not, but it is a story that's told. It's a legend that's in the 1200s. And then it goes up from there, mostly in the 1500s up to the 1900s. There's nothing in the 2000s in the book.
Yeah, I think probably the Tom Thompson is probably one of the most recent ones.
Yes.
And that's well, Elma, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Elma Schemenauer. And if you miss the broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website, artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week at 9 p.m. for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @CELAW13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.